Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. This week, Simon Phipps joins me. We're going to be going back to the basics because we're going to be talking about a version of the basic programming language. You might have played with that many, many years ago. Now you can play with it again with open source software. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Simon Phipps. Episode 353, recorded September 8th, 2015. Gambus. This episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by PagerDuty. PagerDuty decreases alerting noise for the IT operations and developers to ensure that the right engineers are notified at the right time. Increase your uptime and sign up for a 14-day free trial at pagerduty.com/twit. And by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for the right payments API, check out Braintree V.0 SDK. With one simple integration, you get every way to pay. To learn more and to try out the sandbox, go to braintreepayments.com/floss. And by DigitalOcean, simple and fast cloud hosting built for developers. Deploy an SSD cloud server in 55 seconds. Try it today for free. Visit DigitalOcean.com, and once you sign up, be sure to enter the promo code FLOSS in the billing section for a $10 credit. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, Libre, open-source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at StoneAge.com, bringing you each week the movers, the shakers, the big projects, the little projects, projects you might want to download right after the show and play with. And I suspect today's project will actually be something like that. Joining me once again as my co-host, it was none other than Simon Phipps. Simon, welcome back to the show.
Randall, a pleasure to be back on the show with you.
Great, great, great. And where are you speaking to us from?
I am from my home office here in sunny Southampton, where the September weather is beautiful today.
Awesome. And I am also back in Silicon Rainforest, back again, just like I was last week. And today it is extremely sunny, and I'm hoping it doesn't get warm, but it probably will get somewhat warm here. I am just back from Dragon Con. More about that at the end of the show. I'm a little jet lagged, so if it sounds a little weird in this thing, in the thing we're doing, the podcast, right? I apologize. What is this thing? Yeah, that's not a mic. It's something else going on. And so I'm a little bit groggy. And also, I was yelling at high volumes in some very loud rooms. So my throat is a bit scratchy. I might even cough once or twice. I apologize for all of that in advance. Anyway, so this week, as always, we have a great topic lined up. Gambus, which is the name is recursive, something about BASIC. It's basically an independent implementation of most of Visual BASIC, plus its own unique and interesting features. We have the creator of Gambus on. We'll bring him on in a few minutes. His name is Benoit Minicini, something like that. I haven't had time to study this too much. I've just barely woke up in time to get ready for this show, I have to admit. So, but I know BASIC. BASIC was my first serious programming language. So I cut my teeth on BASIC. I learned how to program. It has completely ruined my ability to think in any other languages for a while anyway. At least I've gotten past that. Perl's obviously great. Anyway, what do you know about this so far, Simon?
This particular piece of software I've not used at all. Looks pretty interesting. It looks like a BASIC programmed IDE for Qt with a graphical environment. My history with BASIC is that back at, I think it was 1980, I was writing an incremental compiler for BASIC that also handled speech commands. So I have a long history with it. I also wrote some commercial software in Visual BASIC when it first came out. So I'll be quite interested to dig into this, understand how Benoit has written it and how it's being used out in the open source community.
Yeah. And also I have, when I said I've cut my teeth on BASIC, I was actually, training myself from this HP 2000 timeshared BASIC manual. I knew more than the teacher did within about the first 3 months. So I actually ended up teaching the high school class, which was a lot of fun. So it was my first exposure and being in front of a group and talking about things that I really find passionate about, which has sort of led to my whole adult career of being an instructor, a corporate instructor for Perl and other languages and stuff. So, I literally spent, 4 hours a day in a tiny little closet with an ASR 33 teletype
typing in uppercase, 110 baud, punching paper tape as my only offline storage. And that was my experience of BASIC. I'm kind of glad I didn't have to go back to it. But I've never done anything with Visual BASIC. So that's more of a Windows thing. And I've never owned a machine that's run Windows in my life. So that'll be a little bit weird to talk about Windows things a couple times here. Actually, I think this is a Linux product, though. This is Linux. It's not
it
Windows.
Is a Linux. It's a piece of Linux code, yeah.
Very good.
We sound like two guys out of the opera box on the Muppet Show talking about history here.
Waldorf and Statler, yes, indeed.
That's the Waldorf and Statler.
Yeah.
Are you Waldorf? Never mind.
It doesn't matter. Well, you know, we kind of geese in a little bit there. But we could geese on all morning or keep talking about what we think it's all about. But we could actually talk to an expert. And we will be talking to an expert in just a moment. But I have a very important message before we bring him on. Because PagerDuty is an operations performance platform that delivers visibility and actionable intelligence to help increase the uptime of your apps, servers, websites, and databases. If you rely on your software and services to always be up, PagerDuty is an essential tool. As the hub of your operations, PagerDuty connects all your systems into a single view where you can see critical events across all your monitoring tools. And there are over 100 ready-to-use integrations, including Nagios, New Relic, Keynote, AppDynamics, or you can roll your own with PagerDuty's APIs. You can dispatch alerts by automated phone calls, SMS, email, and push notifications, and resolve incidents on the go so that you can live your life even when you're on call. PagerDuty's analytics will identify common problems, allowing you to proactively make system improvements and prevent future outages. You can customize it to fit how you and your team work, regardless of location or size. PagerDuty is trusted by thousands of companies, including Microsoft, GitHub, Boeing, Nike, Pinterest, and Box. And I'll add to that list, both of my clients are using PagerDuty to manage their outtimes. So get the right engineer on the right problem at the right time. Visit PagerDuty.com/twit. Sign up for a free 14-day trial. And for as little as $19 a month, you can increase your uptime with PagerDuty. And when you sign up for a new account, you'll also get a free T-shirt. That's PagerDuty.com/twit. And we thank PagerDuty for their support of this show. So let's go ahead and bring on our guest, Benoit. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi. And where are you speaking to us from?
Yes, I'm. It's 5 past in the morning. It's 5 in the afternoon. I'm in Paris at the moment, and the weather is gray, like often in Paris.
Awesome. Well,
all right, that's fine. I'm very glad to be here and to meet you.
Very good. And so give us the background of, you know, what is Gambus? What motivated you to write it? And where has it been going? Yes.
So, I started writing Gambus in 2000, so more than 10 years ago. And you must not be misguided by the fact that it's BASIC. Actually, it looks like Visual BASIC for people coming from Windows, but internally it's more like Java. It's a full-featured development environment and development platform. I started doing that language at the beginning because just for fun, because I wrote a compiler's language for a long time. When I started using Linux, I was very disappointing because I wanted to have a development environment would be as easy than Visual Basic, but without all the quirks of the bad design. So I decided to use the BASIC language just for that reason, and because when I started computing, like many people from my generation, we all started with BASIC language. It was when you bought a computer, the only thing you had is a BASIC language. So it's the reason why I chose BASIC.
So you said you already had some compiler development experience. Did you write compilers for other languages or maybe for DSLs?
My first computer was a CPC Amstrad, and I wrote an assembler. In BASIC, I wrote an assembler for the Amstrad, and I continue writing languages. I developed a Lisp interpreter in my school studies. So I always wrote interpreters and assembler. It's a bit like compilers. I think it's logical to continue to doing that on Linux.
Okay, so how does that? Is this something that would be related to your work, or is this more of a hobby for you?
At first it was really a hobby, and then my current job, I asked my boss to use he asked me to develop a software, and I told him I wanted to do that on Linux with Canvas, and so now it makes me living. Because I do Canvas, it's more important part of my job.
Okay, very cool. And so this has been going on for, like you said, 10 years, 2000, right? So that's 20 or 15 years so far. What languages is written in?
Canvas is written in C and C++. Canvas itself is just a very small interpreter. The executable is a bit more than 300 kilobytes, and it's an interpreter that is text only, and mainly provides almost all the features of the libc. For a basic syntax, everything else is done by programming what I name components, which is a dynamic library written in C++, in C, and there are components written in Canvas. So the interpreter, the compiler, is written in C, and I use C++ only if I have to. Like when doing the Qt component.
Right. Is there a separate runtime that you can use to deploy applications, or have you always got to work with the IDE?
No, actually, everything can be done without an IDE, but the IDE is almost it's easier to develop with it. It is the reason why I did it, because you can develop your graphical user interface entirely with the mouse and graphically. And you have a lot of, there is a syntax highlighter editor, an image editor, data. There is the IDE as a database editor too. So it's far easier to use the development environment.
So when I use apt to install an app that's been written using Canvas, I'm going to get the Canvas runtime pulled in, but I won't get anything else.
So it's a bit like when you install a Python or Perl program. I have written a documentation to explain how Canvas must be packaged. So this is, I make a list of. A list of binary package and what should be in each package and how this package must be named. And when you create a Canvas program with the IDE, there is a packager tool inside, and you can create a package for many distributions, and the package you create depends on the runtime and on every package for every component you use.
Right. So the runtime is an interpreter rather than just a set of libraries?
The runtime is an interpreter. It's a program I talked just before, a little program of 300 kilobytes.
Okay. So do you compile an intermediate bytecode, or when I ship an app, am I actually shipping Canvas source code?
Yes. It's the first time I developed. I wrote a bytecode. And then I compile, and then in the interpreter in the same time. So I started writing a bytecode I wanted some special features I didn't really find in other languages like Java or whatever I know. First, I wanted the So Gambas is an object language. So it's made like Java. It's made of class. Each source file is a class and generate one bytecode file for each class. And I wanted the compiler to compile a class without any information on other classes. So the compiler compiles the source code in the bytecode, and many bytecode instructions are transformed by the interpreter the first time they are run by optimizing them because the interpreter has more information because he loads all the classes than the compiler that only looks one classes to compile it. So this is the first feature. It's based on data type transitivity.
Would it be feasible to have any other languages compiled to that bytecode, do you think? Or do you think that the bytecode is so closely connected with Gambas that it's really a single-purpose bytecode?
Gambas is really the bytecode, actually. I could have made another syntax. I didn't have the time to do that, but I could make another syntax for a language. I didn't have to use Basic fundamentally. I could have make another syntax. It's the bytecode that is important for me.
Right. And so, does that tell me about the extensibility of the language? I mean, I grew up with Java in my early career, and the great benefit of Java is there's this rich palette of libraries that you can blend into your applications to interface with enterprise applications and touch any device that you want to. Is Gambas extensible in that way, and are there many libraries that I can use to extend its capabilities?
My main goal was to provide all the fater of all the Linux libraries in an easy way. So me and other people have wrote a lot of components. Usually you are writing one component for each library, and I wrote inside the interpreter there is an application programming interface for writing components, so that when you write a component in C, you actually write an interface between a specific library and the interpreter, and to talk to the interpreter you have to use the application programming interface. I usually say that a component for Gambas is exactly like the device driver for an operating system.
And so now today
there are components for almost everything in Gambas, for a graphical user interface, a GStreamer, for multimedia, for matchmaker libraries, XML, web programming, compression routine, database interface, and so on.
Right.
So it's the first level of extensibility of the language, writing components, usually in C or in C++. The second level is that you can write components in Gambas, of course, and they are the same level. You usually don't notice the difference when using them. For example, the syntax highlighter editor is a component entirely written in Gambas. The SMTP or POP components are written too in Gambas, and so on. The third part of the extensibility is based on the Gambas object model. The way Gambas deal with classes and inheritance is entirely dynamic, actually. The Gambas syntax is a static, like in C, you must declare every data type of your variables. But you can use a dynamic data type explicitly by using the object data type or variant. But the inheritance is entirely solved at runtime. So you can, even if you use, when you create your program, and then you have to tell which component you use statically. You can load components dynamically, and you can inherit or override any classes declared in any components. So this is another level of extensibility.
Right, right. And so what's the performance like of... What is the performance like of your Gambas code? Is it is it realistic to use it in for a production server system or for a production desktop system?
The first program, big program developed is a development environment. There is no problem with the fact that it's entirely written in Gambas. I use it in my my job for writing a web application that is supposed to serve hundreds of users and computers connected to it. I made some little benchmarks of Gambas for fun because I'm actually personally as I develop Gambas for me. As I program in C and C++, when I really need performance, I just write some C code and interface it with Gambas. I think it's the right way to do things. Where you need real the maximum performance to write a little bit of C code, and you can write everything the rest in Gambas. I know that Gambas is used for make an ERP. I don't know the word in English. See, I think it's ERP. It's a program for doing management with the table.
Enterprise resource planning, ERP.
Yes, there is a program to do. Its name is Domotiga. It's that's difficult to explain. It's a program to make in French we say domotics. I don't know the word in English. It's a program that kind of centralize and control every a lot of captors in a house. In your house you put a lot of device or. Captor, I don't know the words, captors, that sends you information like temperature or something, and you centralize it and control it with a server program. So its name is Domotiga. I think there are a lot of applications I'm not aware of. I made a page where people can, if they want, they can list the program they make. But I didn't look at all of them. There is a guy, Kevin Fishburne, who's making games with Gambas and his OpenGL library. So it's a bit. It seems to work. It's a bit surprising because usually when you write OpenShell programs, you write it in C because you need the maximum performance. But apparently, it's enough for writing games in a 2D or 3D games. I think there are others, but it's not in my mind yet. Now
it's okay. Hey, it all sounds really fascinating, actually. You said you did all these things. Is there a chance? How large is the community of users for Gambas, and are they also contributing to the code base?
I have a mailing list with 600 or 700 users. For only one statistic I have. And usually I'm aware of what people do with Gambas when they have problems, because when they don't have problems, they don't send mails to me. There are a lot of components that have been written by other people. The Gambas internals actually are entirely written by me because it's difficult to to program an interpreter and a compiler. It's there are very few people who can do that. There's a guy, Emil Lengren, who wrote a just-in-time compiler for Gambas, and it's a component entirely distinct from the interpreter. You just load the components, and you automatically have a just-in-time compiling for any function you want. For example, if only part of Gambas, I don't know how it works because it's based on LLVM. I don't know how it works really. The LLVM syntax is very complicated. It's even awful, but apparently it works.
Cool. So yeah, it sounds like the barrier to entry is probably a bit high. Do you find it being used in, say, education situations? Is this a teaching language, or is it difficult to teach with this?
I know people who tell students to make their program in Gambas. I don't know how many. I don't think there are a lot of. I know a student who, in the other side, who decided to make their school project in Gambas. There are even students that help me in Gambas writing components. I'm always thinking about the question of which is a better language for teaching programming. I think it's a difficult question because, of course, the basic syntax is not the more elegant syntax in the world. There are a lot of quirks in the basic syntax. So you may think that it's bad for teaching a language. But actually, it's more of the fact that it's less important. I think that the elegance is less important than the accessibility. If a basic language makes people less afraid of programming, they usually do things with that. Actually, I have a lot of Gambas users that are people coming from Windows because it looks like Visual Basic, so they are less afraid to continue programming on Linux with it. And I have even people who decided to go on open source software and free software because of Gambas. I have a lot of programmers in Gambas that actually don't do that professionally. They're just autodidact. I don't know if it's the word in English. They learn programming by themselves. And so I think it's because it's a basic language, because I don't know if... I think it's almost impossible to be autodidact in C or C++ or even modern languages, because they... today, young people who are starting using modern languages like Java, .NET, or modern C++, there are too many things to understand that are actually hidden by the language. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think the basic side of Gambas can be a positive thing for learning programming to young people.
Well, I happen to think that if you can program in BASIC, you can program in almost anything else if you figure out how to get around the quirks of BASIC.
But,
so
I saw recently that people suggest to use JavaScript for teaching programming, but JavaScript is almost the more awful language in the world. I prefer COBOL for against JavaScript. I don't know. Maybe it's a maybe we are motivating learning programming when we have a goal and we don't care with the language. I think most of people are doing a complex thing, a cool demo in JavaScript, don't care about with the language quirks. But when you do real programming, real programming is when you you don't stop after doing the first 20% when you do with 80% that transform a program into a debugged program without bugs. You need a language that is coherent, and JavaScript is not. And I tried by making Gambas to avoid to be more coherent than other basic language. No, Visual Basic is worse than JavaScript. But JavaScript is there is even people who made I saw that on internet a video a funny made a video on JavaScript. It was a comic show. Just by typing a JavaScript command, he makes everybody laughing.
That's pretty awesome. I have a follow-up question about Visual Basic, but before we do that, I got to pay the bills again one more time. This episode is brought to you by Braintree, code for easy online payments. If you're making a mobile app and searching for a simple payments solution, check out Braintree. The Braintree V.0 SDK makes it easy to offer multiple mobile payment types. Start accepting PayPal, Apple Pay, Bitcoin, Venmo, cards, and more, all with a single integration. So simple, secure payments, code you can integrate in minutes. And developers, we got you. Don't worry about taking days to integrate your payments with Braintree. It's done in minutes. The Braintree code supports Android, iOS, and JavaScript clients. SDKs are in 7 languages: .NET, Node.js, Java, Perl, yay, PHP, Python, and Ruby. Elegant code with clear documentation and 10 lines of in-app code. So Braintree gives you an easy way to accept multiple payment types with one integration, quick, knowledgeable developer support, and if you have any questions, start accepting Apple Pay, PayPal, Bitcoin, Venmo, cards, and whatever's next, all with a single integration. With the Braintree V.0 SDK, one small snippet of code, and you're all set up in less than 10 minutes. To learn more, and for your first $50,000 in transactions, fee-free, go to BraintreePayments.com/floss, and we thank Braintree for their support of Floss Weekly. And now for my follow-up question, because I remember something about Visual Basic, at least I heard this many years ago, is that Visual Basic was actually created to do demos. Basically, it was set up as just some way to quickly automate something so that they could show stuff off. And then people said, hey, what's that thing written in? That's kind of cool. And so they ended up releasing it as one of their products. Is there any truth to that rumor? Do you remember hearing that?
No, I wasn't aware of that. I started using Visual Basic in my third job because I had to. When you do programming in company, you have to have a long the faster you program, the less money it costs. So usually you have to use the language that costs the less money. So the reason was everybody used Visual Basic, but it was a very awful language between the many bugs in the language and the. I'm not amazed that it started Visual Basic. The origin of Visual Basic was that.
The worst part of it I always felt was that Visual Basic and the macro languages built into all of Microsoft's products were a different thing. Was always the exotic thing for me. So tell me a little bit more about Gambas. Is it a cross-platform language? If you're compiling to a bytecode, presumably you could easily have a runtime for a Mac or for Windows.
Yes, but it's made for being cross-platform, except that the fact that it's very difficult to run it on Windows. Some people try to compile it, but it was really made for Unix. So it can be run on any Unix platform, provided that the little difference between FreeBSD and Linux are cleaned up. There are people who compiled Gambas on FreeBSD. There are a guy who succeeded to run Gambas on app on macOS, but he didn't tell how. I don't know if it's really possible. He didn't tell me how he did that. And actually, I don't care. I don't have a Mac. And for Windows, I think it's a matter because Windows miss some system calls to be entirely compatible with a Unix program like fork. So it's difficult. You had to use some emulation like Cygwin to make a Unix program works correctly. So it, But I don't use Windows anymore since Windows XP. So actually, I don't care. It would be more interesting to try to run Gambas on Android, for example. But I don't have any Android device, and there are a lot of difficulties because you don't have the glibc. The graphical user interface must be made with Qt. You can't run a C program directly in Android first.
Yeah,
but I think it may be possible with a bit of time.
Yeah, I'd have thought that going for Ubuntu Mobile would be a better bet actually, because you've got the right Linux environment waiting there, and you've got willing hands to help you do it.
It's a Linux environment. There is no problem because the interpreter is the bytecode and interpreters are entirely 32 and 64 bits compatible, and it can run the same bytecode can be run on Intel or ARM. So the compiler, for example, Gambas, for example, run on a Raspberry Pi.
Right. I've just been getting my Raspberry Pi ready. Maybe that's what I'm going to do with it. I've got this lovely new Raspberry Pi 2 to play with.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm kind of interested by the name, because Gambas means prawn in French and Spanish.
Right.
How did you come by that rather curious name?
Right, because usually I notice that free software language are all animals, like Python or... I said to myself, you must find an animal name with and you must put a basic in the name, so that you I finally found it. I think it's only animal with bass in the name, and I wanted a recursive acronym too. So it was difficult to find, but now it's done. And I have the almost in the acronym to really signify that BASIC is only the syntax, but internally it's like Java. I think it's more language, the nearer language. Gambas is nearer the nearest language of Gambas is Java.
Right.
And I wanted to say too specificity about Gambas too is usually when other interpreted language, when they use a library, they just make an interface. I mean you. If you program a GTK or Qt with Python, for example, you program Qt and Python exactly the same way in Python that you must do in a C++ program. On the contrary, in Gambas, I try to make a real interface between the library and the interpreter. To hide all the quirks of the library. So, for example, the graphical programming in Gambas is made the same way with the same classes, the same instruction, whatever the toolkit you use toolkit. So, for example, if you make a program with GTK, your GTK component, you can switch to the Qt component with just by switching the component, and the same code will do the same thing. So I even a component that run your program with Qt if you're on KDE desktop, and it will use GTK if you're on GNOME desktop. It will be transparent. And I try to follow this scheme with every component, but it's difficult. Mainly I have this interface scheme for graphical programming and for database. The Gambas database component is database agnostic. You can use, if you want, of course, exactly the same code for accessing MySQL database, PostgreSQL database, SQLite database, or ODBC database. And this is used, for example, by the interpreter, by the development environment. In the development environment, you have a database editor that can access any database with exactly the same code and same interface.
So I also noticed that the program's GPL. Tell me a little bit about why you picked the GPL and, you know, how your community contribution process is structured. You know, do you aggregate copyright? Are you using Git governance? How does it work?
I started to choose the GPL when I started Gambas, and everybody who's making code seems to agree. If they don't agree, they must say. But every code that is integrated in Gambas is GPL 2. Sometimes there are code that is integrated that actually is not free. But when we are aware of, a guy wrote a database driver for the Firebird database, and a few years later we noticed that we couldn't do that because it was not compatible with the GPL license. So I removed the component. Otherwise, at the moment I don't see any problem with GPL 2, and everybody seems to agree.
Right. And about contribution, you know, do you aggregate copyright, or do all of your contributors retain their copyright?
Actually, I don't know because I don't have the copyright thing in France. Usually, in the source code, everybody is supposed to make a copyright with his name when he modifies the source code. But sometimes people don't care, don't write their copyright. Maybe I need a lawyer for that because I think there is no copyright. The copyright thing does not exist in France. I don't think so.
Oh, actually, I think it does.
No, there is a when we create something in the French law, you have automatically the right. Le droit d'auteur, le right of author, author right.
You have a moral right, yes.
There are three parts in the right when you create something, and you can't send them. If you're the author of something, there's a part of the right you can't give. You can't.
Right. Right. Well, you know, there's ways around that. I can recommend a local colleague of mine, Stefano Zaccaroli, Zach, from the Debian community, who is just around the corner from you in Paris, who would be able to talk to you all about that if you wanted to. He's on the OSI board with you. And
yes,
but it sounds like you've got a very relaxed community attitude towards code ownership. And probably everybody's copyrights are distributed throughout the community and licensed only under the GPL rather than aggregated, by the sound of what you're telling me.
I thought that the fact that everything was in GPL was enough, but really I don't know if I'm wrong or not.
No, it's just fine. But I tell you what, let's grab a coffee during the open source conference in Paris that's coming up in the autumn, and we can talk about it some more rather than bothering all the audience with it. But it's very interesting.
Which conference do you talk about? The Canary site?
The one that's replacing Open World Congress. I forgot what its name is. I'm going to be plugging it in at the end of the show, so I'll give you the details of it.
Okay.
And in terms of source code contributions, are you using Git as your repository, or how would I get a contribution accepted into Gambas if I was brave enough to make?
At the moment, it's a Subversion repository, but many people want me to put that on Git. I just have to find time to do that and to learn how to use Git and where to put the main Git repository, because there is GitHub, there are a lot of repository. I have to study all of them, because I don't want to have the problems we have with SourceForge.
Right. I notice you are still distributing through SourceForge, which is probably regrettable. And I quite agree with you. It's a good idea not to get into the same problem again. Again, maybe this would be a great conversation piece to have when I and Zach are together with you in Paris.
Oh, okay, yes. I will. I'm glad to meet you in real life.
This all sounds very cool. So how many contributors overall do you think you've got in the community? I think
how many?
Was commenting on that earlier. There was a number I think you estimated earlier.
No, the number was people on the mailing list, so it was 700. The real contributors, I maintain a list on the website. I have a list for the code contributors, a list for the translators. Code contributors are maybe 20 people. But most of the time, people write some code and go away without maintaining it. So it's often a bit of problem because often it there are many bugs in Gambas that comes from the fact that it was code that was written by somebody who don't care of it and leave Gambas for doing something else. At the moment, there are contributors that big contributors are very few. There are five, less than 10 people.
Cool. Hey, we're almost out of time, but one of the things I haven't talked about yet is how do you edit code in Gambas? Is there a built-in editors or an IDE?
Yes, in the IDE, you have a code editor with a syntax highlighting, automatic completion, integrated help, and so on. There is a form editor. Everything can be done with the development environment. Actually, I first made the development environment to debug Gambas, to debug the interpreter. Secondly, I made it for myself to make the program I make for my job. So as I'm using it, that's it. As I'm using it, I usually try to. There is an expression in English. I think it's eat your own shit and something like that.
Yeah, we see it.
So as I eat my own shit, I think people can be confident that the development environment is really useful. And most of the time, when somebody finds a bug in the development environment, it's usually a part that I don't use myself.
Well, we're looking at a screenshot, I think, of the actual IDE, and it looks very beautiful. It looks very professional. Does this mean I can also create really professional programs that people don't know are written in Gambas and ship them as part of my deployment?
I don't know what you mean by a really professional program.
Better than most.
It's a matter of. I usually notice that people who are making a big project in the Swiss software community. I mean, big project by a project that with a really beautiful website with a very good marketing. Usually, don't use Gambas. And on the contrary, a lot of Gambas users are not professional programmers, but programmers that make a very specific software, like a medical software, or domotic software, a guy who will make a software to, for example, to pilot his, for example, I had a guy who make watch, who's making watches. And he wrote a program to pilot his machines. So they are not professional programmers, but they are actually writing a professional program because no real developer in the world will write a program for them because it's too much specific.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on what you name it. But of course, if I am. There are everything in Gambas to write a program that has a professional look. All you see in the development environment is made in Gambas. It can be made by everybody else. Almost everything is put in components like the multi-document interface, the toolbars, the shortcut configuration, a lot of things that can be reused.
Cool. Hey, somebody in the chat room actually had a great idea. There's another show on the Twit Network called Coding 101. And what they usually do is do about four or five episodes in a row on a specific language. And the guy in the chat room says, "Hey, let's bring in Gumbus as the next language for that." So that might be pretty cool. I'll have to get you in touch with Padre to talk about being on that show for a little while, if that's something you wouldn't mind doing.
Maybe I didn't catch everything you said.
Sorry.
You are talking about another show?
There's another show called Coding 101 where they teach people programming. And the guy in the chat room says, why don't you have Gumbus as one of the languages for an upcoming series of episodes?
Now, yes. Why not?
Very good. I will put you in touch with Padre then. That's the guy that runs
the show. Sorry.
Very cool. Well, we're almost out of time. Is there anything that we did not cover that you wanted to make sure our audience was aware of?
I think I'll put a bit of everything I wanted to say. Mm-hmm.
I know that's a difficult question.
Yes, maybe I just wanted to say that I think it's when we're people of my generation, I'm more than 40 now, started programming. We all bought computers where there was nothing inside, just a basic language, usually a little basic manual. And so we had to learn programming because we had nothing else to do. And second part, these computers were very low memory, they're a very constrained environment. So the fact that you have a constrained environment forced you to really learn how to do things in a space environment. Nowadays, it's exactly the contrary, and most of the programmers I meet actually don't really know how to program because they have gigabytes of memory, they are very powerful processors and so on. I'm not very optimistic about the future of programming and free software programming relative to that. I don't know if in 50, in 20, 30 years there will be if a free software movement will be as strong as it is now. And I think we must think how to learn programming to young people. I don't say we must learn programming to everybody, like my own government said. It is a completely stupid thing. But for people who can do that, who want to do that, we must think what we have to offer to them as a programming language, free software, free hardware platform, and so on. What I hope is that Gumbus can be a part of a language that can take very young people or very beginners, help them to take ownership of their own computers. Actually, the big corporation tries to do exactly the contrary, that the computer owns their owns the people and not the contrary.
Very cool. That's a really admirable goal there as well. That's I do have to ask you two more questions, though, or else my audience gets mad and sends me email. So one question is, other than the Gumbus IDE, what is your favorite text editor?
I usually use Kate, or when I don't have a graphical user interface, I use Vi. And Kate, because I'm using a KDE environment, but I can use gedit if I want. I was using Emacs during my studies, but I stopped using it since I'm using Kate.
Okay. So at least at one point you used Emacs. That's a good thing. I have to get some win in this somewhere. And your favorite scripting language?
It's Gumbus actually. it can be a scripting language too, like Bash. It's the only scripting language I used on Linux, because before I started writing Gumbus, I was not using any script language.
Mm. Okay, so you can actually say pound bang Gumbus or whatever it is, pound bang user bin Gumbus, and it'll work.
Yes, the actual name of the interpreter is GBX3. 3 okay. means the version. But yes, actually, you don't type GBX3, you have to type GBR3. You have so there are symbolic links on the interpreter installed on the system. That way, it knows that it's running as a script. So the scripter has been named GBS3 by Fabien, the guy who wrote it. Okay. The scripter is written entirely in Gambas. It's just a program that takes your script, compile it, put the compiled program in a local cache, so that you won't compile it each time it's run, and then run the program.
So that's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Yes, but I don't. People should not use Gambas for scripting like that. Just for small things, but it's better to write your project with the idea. Another point too. There is the same scripting thing for web pages, because Gambas with a component can be transformed in a CSS script, so you can write your Gambas program can be actually a big web application, like I did for my job. But people are used to make their web application like PHP. So they wanted Gambas to work like PHP. So Fabien modified his scripter so that you can write a PHP-like page in Gambas to make a website, but for the same reason, I think it's not a good way to make a web application, but it's possible.
Very cool, very cool. Well, we're out of time, so I would like to thank you for coming on the show and talking about Gambas. Hopefully we have inspired a bunch of people to want to go download it and play with it right after the show. Unless you're in the car. In your car, do not be downloading. I guess if you're in a passenger, it's okay. But if you're driving and you're listening to the show, no downloading for you. Okay, you've got to wait till you get home or to work or whatever. Okay, so very good. So thank you, Benoit, for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for your invitation.
Good. Yeah.
Okay.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. So that was Benoit Minicini, something close to that, talking to us about his program, Gambas, which is something like BASIC. And just a second, I'll go back to Simon and see what he thought about it, but I have an important message I have to deliver before that. So whether you're an experienced code warrior or just getting started, you need flexible, reliable, and affordable hosting. DigitalOcean provides developers with Droplets, which are virtual private servers that can be customized and deployed quickly to host websites, web apps, production applications, personal projects, virtual desktops, and almost anything else you can think of with full root access. I myself am a very happy DigitalOcean customer, have been since back in February when I found that they had started deploying with FreeBSD, and FreeBSD is my operating system of choice, and so I'm very happy that they now have that as one of the choices. In fact, you can choose your own OS, Ubuntu, CentOS, Debian, Fedora, CoreOS, and FreeBSD. One-click install allows you to quickly deploy apps like Django, Docker, Drupal, LAMP, GitLab, MediaWiki, Node.js, WordPress, Ghost, Magento, OwnCloud, Ruby on Rails, and many, many more. All the servers are built on hex core machines with dedicated ECC RAM and RAID SSD storage. Servers can have up to 20 CPUs, 64 gigs of RAM, and 640 gigs of SSD hard drive space. Full-feature DNS management to easily manage your domains or use dedicated IPs. And it's so easy to get started. You can deploy an SSD cloud server in as little as 55 seconds. DigitalOcean has incredibly affordable and straightforward pricing. Servers start at only $5 a month. There's also hourly pricing available starting at less than a penny per hour. But we're going to make it so you can get started today and deploy an SSD cloud server for free. Visit DigitalOcean.com and create an account. Once you confirm your email and account information, go to the billing section and enter the promo code FLOSS for a free $10 credit. That's plenty to get started and explore what DigitalOcean can do. That's DigitalOcean.com. And once you sign up, enter the code FLOSS in the billing section for a $10 credit. We thank DigitalOcean for their sponsorship of Floss Weekly. And Simon, what did you think about Gambas?
A very interesting project. I think it's looks very like it has said very mature capabilities. Looks like it's a good way for developing Linux apps for people who don't want to go and dive deep into the technicalities of Linux and would rather use an IDE. I think that it's something I'm definitely going to be spinning up on my Ubuntu box and giving it a try. How about you, Randall?
Well, you know, since I don't have a Linux box running anywhere, I'd have to figure out how to get it running under OS X. I know. It's just, I'm so used to the BSD style of doing things, and then Linux stuff and the GNU tools, and Bash and all. None of that stuff makes sense to me. So I'm very happy to be running FreeBSD in the cloud and OS X on my desktop. And yes, I know I take flack for it every time I say that, but there we go. So I don't think I'll actually be playing with this. Also, I'm trying to get beyond basic. I know this was more than basic, but you know, it's still nice to have it that way. Anything else before we start wrapping up?
No, I think that's interesting toy and yep. Potentially interesting production capability. Ask me in a few weeks how I've got on with it. I'm going to try it on whichever Linux box falls into my hands next this evening this week.
Oh, very cool, very cool. Well, we do have some upcoming guests still on the schedule. I haven't had time to schedule any additional guests, but we do have some upcoming guests. We have Ichinga next week. I think we're moving back to Wednesday next week again. So we had a couple shows on Tuesday, but we're going back to Wednesday for a while at least. We'll see how long that lasts until I get bumped again. Ichinga is a fork of Nagios. We're going to actually be talking about the hostilities of hostile forks as part of that because it was definitely a hostile fork there. Scalable and extensible monitoring system. We have Dart coming up, Casper Lund, and Anders Sandholm are going to be coming to talk about what's happened in Dart. We're actually pushing that show a few weeks down, more towards November, because apparently they have some big announcements. I think it's going to be related to Dart 2.0. Maybe Dart 2.0 is right around the corner. How would I know that? Because I follow the mailing list. Anyway, Crowd Supply, which is open hardware, a marketplace for open hardware. OPN Sense, which itself was a fork of PF Sense, which was a fork of Monowall. So maybe after we get some of the hostile forking, which I'm going to call pitchforking. I really like that phrase. I made that up. But we now have multiple levels of forking for OPN sets. So nobody else on the current schedule. I'll be sending out some email this weekend. I actually have a day off where I'm not in a conference or heading to one of my clients' locations. So I'm actually going to catch up on a lot of things, including emailing out for additional guests for Floss Weekly. If you want to find out who's on our mailing list, who's on our list of upcoming guests, you can go to the homepage for this show. That's twit.tv/floss. And right there is a prominent link to say, here's upcoming guests. Please, again, if you have an idea for a guest for the show, don't just email me. Email the project leader or community representative or whoever's sort of the face of the organization and let them know that you really enjoy Floss Weekly and that they should be on it and have them email me directly. And that's how people end up on that list. I was just at DragonCon this past weekend. I'm not going to talk too much about it. Well, yeah, I will talk a little bit more about it in a second or two. But one of the things was a panel on how to get more women in science. And as I was listening to this talk, I was thinking, man, my guests for Floss Weekly have been very male dominant. I mean, we have, it's so male dominated that, you know, you can kind of point out as exceptions the few times we actually have women on the show. Now, I'm hoping I'm not doing this in a way that sounds sexist, but I'd like to balance that out a little bit more. I know there's some really wonderful projects that are happening out there that, that could be represented by, women to try to balance this out a little bit more. Now it is sounding sexist. I better shut up right now. I'm going to get hate mail. Anyway, but you know what I'm trying to say here? What I'm trying to say is, hey, let's bring some more women on the show. That would be nice. And it would be inspiration for other women to get involved. That's it. I'm going to stop digging a hole for me there. Okay, we have a live stream. Typically, it's been 8 a.m. Where did 8:38 come from? It's been 8 a.m. Pacific time on Wednesdays. And we're going back to that next week. It just happens to be Tuesday today because we were bumped because of a big announcement tomorrow. I don't even know what the announcement is yet, but you can follow us on Floss Weekly on Google Plus, which for a while will still be relayed over to Floss Weekly on Twitter, and we'll stop in about 3 weeks as soon as Yahoo Pipes goes away because I don't know how to convert a Google Plus stream into a Twitter feed other than using Yahoo Pipes. So if you have a solution for that, please let me know. Merlin@stonehenge.com because I have two or three things I want to plug over like that. You can follow me at Google Plus, Randall L. Schwartz. And again, until for another couple of weeks, you can also see all those postings linked at Merlin on Twitter. Dragon Con was amazing. I'm exhausted. I had four panels. We had a panel on Ingress, a panel on protecting yourself. Here's an important URL. If you're trying to protect yourself on the internet and you just want sort of a basics how-to or what are the apps I need to run regardless of what platform I'm on, that sort of thing. So ssd.eff.org. That's their site that has everything simple, that has video walkthroughs. I didn't know about the site till the weekends, but I was on a panel and they brought that up and I was like, oh, that's so cool. ssd.eff.org, all in one place for all your solutions, how to encrypt your mail end to end, how to encrypt your chats end to end. Oh, it's really awesome. I've been reading through a bunch of stuff and a bunch of videos. Okay, I think I've done enough plugging for right now. I'm in no more conferences for a while. Thank goodness. It's over. Conference season is over. Simon, what do you want to plug?
Well, I'm still writing my monthly column for Linux Voice magazine. I do hope that listeners and viewers will give them at least a quick look over at Linux Voice magazine. Upcoming conference activities. I hope to attend the LibreOffice conference in Aarhus in Denmark, which is coming up on the 23rd to the 25th of September. I also just confirmed that I'm going to be giving one of the keynotes at OSCON Europe in Amsterdam. That's the 26th to the and the 27th of October. And I would love to see you there if you're going to be over at OSCON Europe. I'm also planning on being in San Francisco in the second week in November. And I would love to catch up with any old friends, listeners and viewers who would like to share a beverage, alcoholic or otherwise, while I'm over. So send me a note. You can find all of my contact details on my website, which is at webmink.com. And I'm also on Twitter as Webmink. You can get in touch with me there. At the moment, I'm still on the board of directors of the Open Source Initiative, and I encourage people to catch up with the rapid changes and evolution of OSI that are going on. We now are a member organization. We now have an incubator for getting your projects funded and embraced by the open source community. So if you've got an activity you would like to do that's not about code, that's about getting people into open source, making open source better, making open source better known, then please drop by opensource.org and check out our working groups, which is our incubator process. That's about all that I have to plug at the moment. So back to Randall.
Well, Simon, thank you for being today's co-host and filling in with your apparently extensive background about writing compilers and programming in BASIC.
Yeah, so all these hidden talents that I've been trying to stop people from discovering when they've been offering me jobs.
Very good, very good. And I have to apparently end the show real quickly because I'm running out of time, also because the sun is creeping up and will start hitting me in the face in about four more minutes. So we'll see you all. Now I can't even finish the show. We'll see
you're
turning
to rock already.
Yeah, no, we'll see you all again next week on FLOSS Weekly.